Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Progressive Vibe. I'm your host, Dodrick. Today's date is September 12th, 2021. This is Season 5, Episode 4. The title of this episode, American Workers Rethinking Working Conditions. In today's show, we will be discussing a study that shows American workers throughout the U.S. rethinking, thus reconsidering working conditions here in the United States. The article we will check out is by Business Insider that reads another 4 million workers quit for the fourth month in a row, and it shows how Americans are rethinking work in a way they haven't in decades. So that should be a very, very telling and interesting discussion we will have in the main show. Now, a quick show plug for our listeners before we get into today's show. Have something you want me to discuss on the podcast? Well, you can follow me on Twitter at @Dodi_vibe. That's DODIVIBE. Again, that's DODI_VIBE. And you can use the hashtag TPVibe, that's TPVIBE on Twitter to, you know, enact with the show. Tell me maybe how I'm doing, or if you have any kind of questions or or concerns, you can use that hashtag to interact with the show. Also, don't have a Twitter, you can send me a message from the contact form on the show's website, which is theprogressivevibe 184-970-366.wordpress.com. Also, if you want to stay in touch with the show, you can enter your email address in the stay in touch box on the podcast website that I just gave you. And that's to get every new episode delivered straight to your inbox. Last but not least, if you want to help us make the show and sustain future episodes, become a monthly supporter on the show's website. We have now more than several listeners, which is just awesome, that are monthly supporters of the show. And I couldn't thank you guys enough for that. It's just so awesome that we, the Progressive Vibe, because it's a we thing, guys. It's us. And it's just so awesome that you guys are really donating to the show. That just blows my mind. But I couldn't thank you enough for that. So again, you can become a monthly supporter on the show's website. Again, the show's website is theprogressivevibe 184-970-366.wordpress.com. Or if you want to make a contribution another way, we have a Cash App that you can donate to. The show's Cash App tag is DAHDEE92. That's DAHDEE92. And before we close this intro segment out, I do want to say I want to thank the listeners for liking, for sharing, for donating to the show. However you choose to show love to the show, guys, it is greatly appreciated. There would be no show if it wasn't for the listeners. So I do want to obviously show my appreciation and gratitude to the listeners of the program. Sharing the show is the most effective way to get our message out, and it's all totally free. And I feel like I'm missing one thing, guys. I feel like I'm missing one thing. Ah, I am. So the Progressive Vibe is on all platforms. You can listen and get your podcasts. The Progressive Vibe is also now on Podchaser. Podchaser is a platform that empowers podcasts delivered for listeners, podcasters, and everyone else. If you want to learn more about Podchaser, go to podchaser.com. That's PODCHASER.com. And on that note, guys, let's get into today's main show. Hey guys, welcome to the main show. So let's get right into this. This is an article from the Business Insider that reads, another 4 million workers quit for the fourth month in a row, and it shows how Americans are rethinking work in a way they haven't in decades. A record number of workers quit their jobs in July. Again, data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, job openings and labor turnover summary released Wednesday showed that workers were still reconsidering and leaving work en masse, even as job openings reached a record high. In July, 3.98 million workers quit their jobs, an increase from 3.87 million in June. That came in slightly below April's record-breaking 3.99 million quits, the highest level since the Bureau began tracking the data in 2000. At least 3.6 million workers have quit their jobs each month for one-third of the year. It's a quitting trend unlike anything seen in at least the two past decades, and it could signal that 2021 will be filled with employers scrambling to hire people who are rethinking what they want out of work and acting on it, which they should. As Insider's Ben Wink reported, job openings have climbed for several, for 7 months and have reached record highs for five straight months. While economists had predicted that July openings would fall below 10 million, they rose to a record high of 10.9 million. That means openings still outnumber jobless workers who could fill them. Nick Bunker, an economist at Indeed, wrote on Twitter that openings had reached pre-pandemic levels across all major industry sectors. Nick Bunker wrote, quits rates rose in retail trade, and that sector has now seen the largest proportional increase in quitting during the pandemic. I wonder why. It goes on to say, but July's quits rate signals that workers still aren't ready for a return to normal. It could be that they're holding out for higher paying roles or ones with better benefits. Americans have for months been rethinking work as the economy reopens. Some might be feeling what Fortune magazine called, quote, turnover shock, where a major event, a pandemic would definitely qualify, causes one to reconsider their satisfaction with work. It goes on to read, the July jobs data indicated that wages had ticked up for everyone, with 9.6% wage growth in leisure and hospitality over the previous year. Upping wages has been one effective mechanism for hiring and retaining workers in the hot labor market. Well, you don't say. And the quits rate in leisure and hospitality did drop slightly in July, falling to 5.1% from 5.2% in June. But that still means 780,000 leisure and hospitality workers quit their jobs in July, signaling a continued reluctance to remain in low-wage in-person jobs. Importantly, the July data likely doesn't wholly reflect the curveball that the Delta variant has thrown at the economy. At the end of July, as the more contagious variant spread through the U.S. markets wavered, and experts predicted that the variant, if left unchecked, could shutter some areas of economic recovery. As Wink reported, the dismal job numbers from August indicated it had done just that. The Delta variant may have played a role in driving some of those quits as health concerned workers hastened to quit in-person roles. All told, it was yet another month of unprecedented quits and openings. As the economy has slowly reopened, economists have pointed to September as the month when a clearer picture of shortages, which are right now likely driven by virus fears and a lack of childcare, will emerge. If quits remain this high, an even bigger realignment of work could be coming. And that was the end of that article, guys. I will post this alongside the episode so you guys can look at the total hires, the layoffs and quits, the chart from 2000 to 2021. Pretty astounding stuff. And yeah, guys, so you can read it amongst yourselves and check it out. But pretty fascinating stuff. We're going to have a quick word from our sponsors. So we are going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to discuss this article. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back. Hey guys, welcome back. So let's discuss. 4 million Americans in its fourth month in a row have quit their jobs. That's 16 million people in a four-month period. And that should speak to something, because it's not like the data shows that it's been a drop off of people quitting their jobs. It's been an increase. So we have to point out factors that indicate, well, why is it that people aren't staying on their jobs? And it kills me that the only time you hear something about it, you hear people are just lazy and don't want to work and want free handouts. This is the most hardworking country. And I'm not trying to compare it to other countries, because I haven't been to other countries. But I can look at productivity rates, the data on that, to show that, yes, Americans are one of the, if not the hardest working country there is in the world. And it just, I get so tired of hearing that, because I feel like it comes from a place of not only entitlement, but selfishness. Because you always hear this and you never hear, well, why do you think that they're lazy? You know, why do you think that they don't want to work? Why do you think that they're looking for handouts? You know, and it's just so funny, because, you know, the whole thing of the whole unemployment situation. Now I understand that you can't be on unemployment for the rest of your life. you know, we are a working driven society. So that's just what it's going to be. You know, we have to, in order for society to function, then we have to have people working in these places of business. You know, we have to have people to stock foods and toiletries on the shelves so people can buy them, because people need food and people need toiletries. You know, people, you know, have to be baggers and cashiers. Now they have in places and businesses, they have where you can do a self-checkout, but everybody got a grandmama or had a grandmama. Everybody has a grandpa or had a grandpa, or even your mom or father to a certain extent, that does not like doing self-checkout. They rather to just put their groceries on a conveyor belt, have the cashier scan them, and have the bagger bag them and put them in their carts. And if they need assistance out, they'll get assistance out. You know, these type of things that people want in their society. So if people want that in their society, then we have to address the reason why people are leaving these businesses and don't want to work for these companies. And it could be several factors, but they're givens. They're given factors. Higher wages. Excuse me. That's a given. People want to be able to work for a livable wage so they can pay their bills, take care of their families, provide a roof over their family's head, provide food, etc. These are the basic needs that can be supplied by institutions that or businesses that, you know, businesses that need workers. This is a given. Better job benefits could be another one. People want to have better benefits while they are spending a whole host of their time dedicated to that job. You know, if you want a worker to be working, you know, 30, 40 hours, possibly more a week, then you have to realize that if your workers, if your employees are asking for better working benefits, higher wages, then again, this stuff is a given. Another thing could be job satisfaction. People on their jobs are not feeling satisfied where they work, thus causing them to look for another job that potentially will do that. That's not too much to ask for. You know, you as a business owner are expecting your workers to come in and make your company revenue, then you have to hear out the needs and the demands from your employees. It's just that simple. And also another reason could be the Delta variant, which is still in full effect in our country. And not only is it holding back economic recovery to its fullest potential, it is also keeping people from in-person work. It's a lot of people out there to where, you know, it's a lot of people out there that still does not believe in how serious the coronavirus is, which is just insanity. But it's a majority of people out there who actually do take it serious, and a lot of them aren't comfortable coming back into in-person work, especially if the job conditions are, let's just keep it real, they suck. People want to find a place of work that is satisfying to them, that provides a safety net, protection for them. And that's just how the country is, to me, in realignment when it comes to the American worker, your average American worker. You can tell, as the article that we discussed, it's a realignment that's going on in this. And we need Biden and his administration to, I was going to say understand this, but they understand what's going on. They just haven't acted on it. And what needs to happen is we need to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. That's the floor. That's not the ceiling. Because based on history itself, based on data, if we would have kept up with inflations from the 1960s, people would be approximately making at least $23 to $24 an hour on their jobs. And that's retail, that's leisure and hospitality, that's fast food, that's a numerous of things. But we haven't did that. It's still $7.25. That's the federal national minimum wage. $7.25. Can anybody tell me that they can just go inside of a grocery store and buy one thing? Real, I mean, like, let's be real. $7.25 an hour. One thing nowadays costs you $7.25. You know, and again, I have a background in retail, so it's super, super easy for me to break down why people are quitting their retail jobs. And the number one factor is they pay extremely low wages for you to do X amount of work that's demanded by that, for say, business. And it's just not right. It's not fair. It should be fixed. Congress should act on this. The president should act on this. The president knows he should act on this. But it's a bunch of members in his caucus that has a special interest that lies somewhere else. And it definitely doesn't have increasing a minimum wage federally. It definitely isn't that. Because most businesses don't want to do that. unless they're forced into doing that, which the president has authority to make so. But we still have a huge reconciliation bill that is coming up. And right now it's being debated by members of the caucus that they, you know, that it's too high, you know, that it should be at least 1.5 trillion, not 3.5 trillion. No, no more negotiating down on things. It's time to invest in the American people. And it's time for the government, not the American workers, which they should be. I understand why they're rethinking working conditions, but it's time for the government to start rethinking the way that they provide to the average American worker. It's just that simple. So before we close out the main show and go to our social media break, I do want to play this about 8-minute clip for you guys. This clip is by TYT News. Again, if you want more clips and if you like what you're about to hear, you like more clips and you like the way they break down things, you should give them a follow on YouTube and on Twitter. TYT, the Young Turks, and they talk about this business owner on Fox News complaining about how we have to pay a living wage. Check this out, guys.
Here's the thing people get mistaken because of what we stand for. We're okay for giving people assistance that need it. This was way too much money for way too long. The issue is the money that was given out was for help, not to stay home and do nothing. I couldn't even get people to walk in the door to even explain to them, listen, I'm willing to compromise and give you a living wage, give you a working wage, not just minimum wage, but I wasn't even given the opportunity to help people get jobs. It is strictly about capitalism. I took the risk. I put my life on the line. I put everything up. I worked hard, but I was willing to even share my wealth, the minimum that we were making with the employees. But I couldn't get people even in the door. You have all these statistics saying, well, all these millions of people want jobs. Where are they at? Where were they?
No, I love that, because it's like, you know, I wasn't given the opportunity to pay my workers a living wage. I couldn't even get them through that. You know, it's interesting because there's already data showing that for the employers who were willing to up the wages of workers during the pandemic, they had a far easier time getting their workers to come back. Now, there are other factors at play that actually have a much larger influence on workers' decisions to stay home, and I'll get to that in just a second. But, Cheng, I just love the admission there.
Yeah.
Like, I would have paid them a living wage. I just didn't get the opportunity.
Yeah. So there's two things that I love about that. One is the lies, and two is the truth. So first, the lies. He's like, I want to give it to them, and they wouldn't take it. They wouldn't walk in the door. Yeah, I was in Colorado a couple of months back, and that's when things were coming back into business before the Delta variant. And the fast food chains had big signs in front, $15 an hour. I saw one that said $18 an hour, okay? And guess what? They were functioning. They were open because people saw those signs and they walked in because $18 an hour sounded pretty damn good.
Okay. Strange how that works, Cenk.
Huh.
Weird.
Yeah. Meanwhile, this poor guy, he doesn't know how to put a sign in front of his establishment.
He didn't get an opportunity. He worked so hard.
He
put everything on the line.
My dad was a local businessman. He was a pretty good businessman. You know what he would do? He'd put an ad in the paper. We could have done that. Oh, I didn't get a chance. Okay, pretty sure you did. But look at you. You have a chance to say it on Fox News here. Tell people what you're paying. And I guarantee you they'll show up in droves if it's a good number, right? So that's the lies. The truth, though, is even more amazing. He's like, I was willing to compromise and pay them a living wage. Oh, were you? Well, are you not merciful? I didn't know you were that much of a humanitarian. So apparently before, you weren't willing to compromise and pay them a living wage.
Some things you need to negotiate. award-winning taste kids crave with the vitamin.
Okay, and he views that to be a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, I'm even letting you live off my wages, and you're still complaining? Jesus. And then the second admission, I was even willing to share my wealth. Again, quite the humanitarian you are.
Right.
Well, you see, when people work with you and you all make the money together, yes, in a manner of speaking, you should share the wealth. And in a way that is, will motivate them to come to work and maybe even create an atmosphere where you like each other, right? And that you have a functioning business. It doesn't mean they're going to make more than you. It doesn't mean you're not going to make plenty. But yes, you're supposed to share enough for people to show up to work. That's the bare minimum. And he views it as like, I'm such a good guy. I'll even pay you guys minimum wage and share my wealth a little bit. No, that's not what makes you a good guy.
So let's talk about why workers aren't going back to work, right? Because I think that there's this, and this always happens, the smearing of American workers as lazy, as bums, as people who just want to sit on the couch, when in reality, you look at productivity in this country, you know, before the pandemic, and Americans work the longest hours, incredibly hard workers, incredibly productive, but oh, we're just all bums. Okay, great. But evidence so far suggests that programs are playing at most a limited role in keeping people out of the workforce. States that ended the benefits early, for example, meaning the unemployment benefits, have seen little, if any, pickup in hiring relative to the rest of the country. So one of the main things that gets cited is childcare. Because remember, the coronavirus pandemic, whether we want to believe it or not, is still raging. So what ends up happening to kids who are supposed to go back to school? Well, they go back to school, there's an outbreak of coronavirus, and a bunch of students have to quarantine, meaning that their parents need to be home to take care of their children, right? Childcare is incredibly expensive. Most people can't afford it. So there's a cost-benefit analysis that happens in every household. It ends up being that the mother is better off staying at home with the kids instead of working all day to just pay all of her earnings toward childcare, right? So data released by the Labor Department showed that the states that cut benefits have experienced job growth similar to, and perhaps slightly slower than, growth in states that retained the benefits. That was true even in the leisure and hospitality sector, where businesses have been particularly vocal in their complaints about the benefits. So that's the thing. I mean, people in this country get no support at all. So if we're not going to get help with childcare, how are you going to expect workers who make meager wages to show up to work when all of their wages then get spent on childcare? It makes no sense. It makes no sense. The system is broken. And to smear workers as like these lazy bums is so disgusting, when in reality, you've got greedy businesses that don't want to pay a living wage. You have the government that's unwilling to do anything about childcare and the lack of a social safety net. And this is the situation that we end up in, period. This is the way it works.
Yeah, see, that's why I thought the Family Paid Leave Act, et cetera, would be easier to pass, because at some point corporations have to realize if we don't help women with, and not just women, of course, but families, predominantly women still today, with childcare, they're not going to come to work. And then, by the way, it's not just that, hey, I don't have enough employees. What that'll do is it lowers the supply of workers, which drives up the prices. And so they don't want that either. So it's a perfect opportunity to unload that on the government. And so that's why it was easily put into the COVID relief bills. But it's, I believe it's in the $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill.
It is.
And so that should be a way to sweeten the pot for corporations who actually, of course, run our government. But still, that one has trouble passing. And you would think that that should be a layup for them. But still, to this day, they think, well, I mean, I'm going to have to pay a part of that cost. And look at that. The guy on Fox News, really, they're almost negotiating with the country, right? How little can we pay you for you to show up? That's what they're trying to find your bottom. And
yeah,
right, and
he's not the only one, though.
Yeah, and no, the whole country is,
yes,
right? All the politicians are. He just happens to be symbolic. He's actually a small business owner, so not a great symbol. The real symbol should be the giant corporations that hire fast food workers, et cetera. And they're the ones that methodically try to keep your wages to scientifically as low as they possibly can pay and for you to still be able to survive.
Hey guys, welcome to the social media break of the show. I hope you enjoy. This is from Andy Kroll on Twitter. He says, scoop, Biden has told Schumer and Pelosi that he's prepared to pressure moderate Dems to change the filibuster in order to pass a new voting rights law. Quote, Chuck, you tell me when you need me to start making phone calls, end quote, Biden said, per a source. So this was from Rolling Stone, and it reads, Biden tells top Democrats he's prepared lobbying blitz on filibuster. So again, if you guys want to check that out, that's on, you can find that on rollingstone.com. All I can say is on that is about damn time. It's enough of the whole like pity patting around, you know, walking on eggshells when it comes to like governing. Democrats, I'm gonna keep saying this, I'm gonna keep stressing this. Democrats control the House, the Senate, and the White House. Okay? It's a reason why you guys got voted in. Okay? It's a reason why you guys hold all three branches of government. Now, depending on what you do for the American people and what they needs are and what they want as data shows, then come 2022, you might be in a world of hurt when it comes to the House and the Senate, because you have to start addressing these needs. Okay, the American people, they are in distress. They have been in distress. Only now social media is really, really a driving force, I feel like, in a lot of these things getting the exploitment that it needs. So, but, you know, nonetheless, I'm liking what I'm hearing with Biden. He needs to keep his foot on the gas when it comes to these progressive measures that he's taking. Let's not forget, that's what it is. They are progressive talking points that he's using here. Biden is considered to be a moderate Democrat in the past, but with this statement and previous statements that he's gave last week, I don't know if he's riding the curve on these type of things, or if this just you know, if this just showing for the cameras. But nonetheless, these are statements out of his mouth that has been documented. So I hope that he means what he says, and I'm gonna leave it at that. But good on Biden for trying to protect people's voting rights in this country. Again, these are things that should just be a given, right? It should be a given to protect people's voting rights. That should be a given. And if you have to end the filibuster on that, then do so. But moderate Democrats, I feel like, are worried that if they open the Pandora box, if you will, by ending the filibuster, then it's going to release the whole host of other things. Then good. It's about damn time. Moving on. This is from Great Value Sweetie. Great Value Sweetie. She says 9/11 is what triggered my anxiety. My mom survived the 1993 bombing and the 9/11 attack. My aunt came to pick my siblings and cousins up from school, wailing. I thought my mom died. My mom came home 8 hours later, covered in debris. This is a pic from her in front of the survival steps. As you guys know, 9/11 was yesterday. And, you know, we will never forget. That was a very, very traumatic day. 2001, I remember me being in the classroom witnessing this on the television. They turned on the television in the classroom because obviously it was of higher importance that we see that. And shout out to all the first responders who responded to that devastating scene known as 9/11, and the people who sacrificed their lives to help and save other lives. Again, you will never be forgotten. And I do want to take time to show love and remembrance to all what is 9/11. On that note, guys, that's going to wrap it up for the social media break. When we come back, we will be closing out the show. Stay tuned, guys, and we will be right back. Hey guys, welcome back. That's going to wrap up today's show. I hope everybody enjoyed the program today. I had a blast as always. I love providing the news from a progressive point of view. And so I hope that I continue to provide you guys that, because you guys provide me with the support and love that you do. And it is just so awesome. And I kind of want to reiterate what I said in the intro. Thank you guys for liking, sharing, and donating to the show. However you show love to the show, it is greatly appreciated and it is well received. We will have a brand new episode for you guys next week, so stay tuned for that. The Progressive Vibe, as I posted an update on the page, we were nearing 700 downloads. Now we're way past 700 downloads. We're at 744, if I'm not mistaken. So I will have a brand new update on that once we hit 800. And so hopefully after the 800 mark, we'll be hitting that 1,000 download mark very shortly after that. Couldn't do it without you guys. There would be no show without you guys. You guys make the show, and I am just so, so appreciative of that. Everybody continue to stay safe out there. Get vaccinated, guys. And until then, stay safe, stay positive. Love you guys. We'll see you guys next week. Peace out.